Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a very special pop dive this week. It is all about Catherine McPhee, Catherine over at Open Toes McPhee. We are going to be talking to her. We're going to be talking about Smash, and we'll talk about American Idol and the House Bunny. We're going to talk about all of it. She was kind enough to give us some of her time, so I'm super excited for that. So it's a little bit different pop dive. You know, normally every Monday we do a pop dive into one specific topic, and usually it's about like a movie or a TV show, but this week it's Catherine McPhee's. We're diving into Catherine McPhee's life and career. So I'm super excited. Before we do, there's a few things I want to get out of the way. A lot of people have been asking about the West Elm headboard that I ordered a year ago or something that was never delivered. They lost it. I told you guys they lost it. I was on and off the phone with these people forever, and it was maddening. And eventually I just gave up. The last I heard, they lost the headboard and no one knew where it was, what was happening with it, whatever. And then, you know, I had sort of given up. Like I had been calling for like 2 weeks straight and like going round and round with their customer service people, and no one seemed to have any answers. And so finally I just was like, okay, I don't know when it's coming, if it's coming, what's happening. Fortunately, someone reached out and they did refund me via a gift card. So I did get a refund for it. And unfortunately, I will have to be shopping with them again because I got a gift card. So I will have to order something else from them. But it was so funny. Everyone was really kind. Like people were reaching out in my DMs and stuff and saying, oh, you know, here's a number to call, or maybe you should reach out to the Better Business Bureau or whatever. I'm like, I've lost the will to do anything with these people. Like when you go round and round so many times, who wants to do anything? I could not call. Like after that 2 weeks of going round and round with them, I'm like, I do not care. They could have taken all my money. Like they could have kept the money, not refunded me. I had truly like lost a will to get it. Anyway, so they did refund me. So that was exciting, I guess. And, you know, here we go again. I'm going to have to find something to order from them.
Here I go again. My, how can I resist you?
Anyone has any suggestions? It's going to be something in stock, I'll tell you that. What else? Oh, I just watched that movie on Netflix. I want to encourage everyone to watch it. It's called To All the Boys I've Loved Before. It's so cute. It's a rom-com. Netflix is doing just like a great job on rom-coms lately. And I mean, it's truly like the rebirth of rom-coms. You know, I love a rom-com. And I told you about how much I love Crazy Rich Asians, which is out in theaters now. It's just a good time for rom-coms. And that's a new one. I wanted to just say, you know, check it out. It's good. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this Catherine McPhee. Now, I fell in love with Idol. I did. I used to be a huge, huge Idol fan. And I have a little confession to make. I did not watch Smash when it was on.
Faded, not a girl with a hunger for fame.
Oh, that song kills me, though. That song kills me. So I watched the pilot of Smash when it was on, and then I stopped watching. And I had always anticipated, I'd always figured that I would catch up and binge the whole season. But then when season one was airing, I remember there was like a lot of negative press and like people were kind of making fun of it online, and I always just assumed it was bad, so I didn't watch it. And then a couple weeks ago, I was really sick. Like I got a bad cold and flu, which I'm still sort of getting over, but I was in bed all weekend. And originally I actually had wanted to binge like one of the seasons of The Real World, and I was like looking everywhere, which, you know, that's a hate crime that we can't find The Real World on streaming anywhere. Like that's homophobic. Homophobia at its finest is not being able to stream old seasons of The Real World, because I was ready to dig back into a Hawaii season, or maybe like the first Las Vegas season, or, you know, New Orleans. I remember Danny on New Orleans. I wanted to like dig back into that. And you guys, I couldn't find it anywhere. So I was looking for something to binge, and I thought, you know, maybe I should dive into Smash. And when I tell you I got addicted, I was so into it. And it's not perfect. It's not, but I was instantly obsessed. And I feel like there's so much good in the show Smash. I mean, the music is fantastic. Ever since I binged, I have been singing.
Fading, not a girl with a hunger for fame.
I change it to fade in on a gay and a hunger for fame. That's every gay. But I loved it so, so much. It was so fun to watch, and it made me love Broadway and live music and musical theater. And it's happy. And again, it's not perfect. I hated Ellis so much. I hated Dev. Oh my God. I hated Ellis and Dev. They were the worst. But the music was great. The acting was great. The storylines were fun. I didn't want it to end. And I tried really hard to get Matt to watch. I was like watching it all weekend. At one point, like Matt had come into the room while I had it on, and I was like, just sit and watch it for like 1 second. And so he sat down, and unfortunately was like at the end of season one. Do you guys remember when Catherine McPhee and Dev, they were at an Indian restaurant with Uma Thurman? And then Catherine McPhee's like watching the TV screen in the corner, and it's some Bollywood movie. And then it turns into this like... turns into like Smash's version of J-Ho. Do you remember that song, J-Ho? J-Ho. Remember from Slumdog Millionaire? Well, Smash like tried to recreate that. Which I know this is me digressing, but do you guys remember the song J-Ho? Do you remember how it was credited as like, it was like featuring the Pussycat Dolls featuring Nicole Scherzinger. Do you remember that? Because, like, Nicole Scherzinger was the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls. The Pussycat Dolls teamed up with the singer of J-Ho to do, I don't know if it was, like, a remix of J-Ho or... What a weird time in pop culture history, as I'm thinking back on this. But Nicole Scherzinger was the lead singer of Pussycat Dolls, and this was around the time she was, like, leaving the group or rumored to be leaving the group. And so the Pussycat Dolls hopped on this track, hopped on J-Ho, the song, and then Nicole Scherzinger... clearly had demanded that she be credited as the Pussycat Dolls featuring Nicole Scherzinger. So if you look at the music video, it says, you know, the singer of J-Ho plus the Pussycat Dolls featuring Nicole Scherzinger, which I would love to hear the behind-the-scenes story of that tale. I need answers. We need to do a Nicole Scherzinger pop dive. Nicole Scherzinger also, you guys, has this song. You know that song, Don't Hold Your Breath? She tried to make it a single. It was a single, but it's got a lyric in it. My friend Michael and I always tell it to each other, but it's... her lyric in that song is, "You took my money and I know that you could kill someone." And it's in this, like, super pop song. It's like, yeah, no wonder that song didn't take off. You took my money. Just in a random pop song. Like, it wasn't even... That would maybe make sense in a pop song that was, like, on a soundtrack to a movie or something, but that was just on a pop song. And we all know that Nicole was the only one singing on those records. Like, they didn't let any of the other Pussycat Dolls do any vocals. Occasionally, they let, like, that Melody girl do some runs. But for the most part, the only other run-in the other girls were doing was out of the studio so Nicole could sing. Oh, Nicole Scherzinger. I don't know how I got sidetracked with Nicole Scherzinger. Okay, so this all comes back around. So in Smash, in the scene, Catherine McPhee's watching the TV, and then it turns into this whole Bollywood song and dance number, which is ridiculous. Like, in the context of Smash, like, it's reaching. And Matt had just sat down as the scene started, and even I was, like, watching, and I was like, oh, maybe... I was like, I don't know if this is the best scene, you know, to show a newcomer of Smash. You know, like, if you've never seen Smash before, I don't think you should jump right into that Bollywood number, because it might be a little shocking. You know, it's like it's a jolt to the senses. It's like, whoa! Because it's like, it's also a dream sequence, so she's like watching this TV show, and then she imagined herself. She imagines Dev in it, like, singing, and Dev doesn't have the greatest voice. At one point, like, Deborah Messing's in a, you know, sari dress, and it's just like, I'm sorry that you're in that dress, Deborah Messing, because this is a shock to the senses. Like, whoa!
Note to self, I don't need to see that!
I mean, Deborah Messing has worn some shocking scarves in that show, but that Bollywood number, I mean, all of it, all around, it was a little bit of a, like, what's happening? And I don't get me wrong, I love a Bollywood number. It just, in the context of Smash, it was a lot. But then, you know, even that number, it's like even at the bad points, like when Smash was sort of not working or was kind of like a weird spot, it still would kind of charm you over by the end. By the end of that song, Catherine McPhee comes in the song and she starts singing and she's dancing. And it won me over and I loved it. It did not, however, win Matt over. It didn't. Facts are facts. Oh, but all the music. I mean, I love when Catherine McPhee did Shake It Off and so many good songs. And then Catherine, you know, one of her first roles was in House Bunny, which just turned 10 years old this past week. And what a classic movie. I mean, Anna Faris, Emma Stone, Kat Dennings, who's also very underrated in that movie, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Such a romantic, good movie if you've never seen that. But House Bunny is so, so funny. And I miss like an Anna Faris movie. Is it Anna or Anna? I think it's Anna Faris. I miss an Anna Faris movie. I still haven't watched her Overboard remake, but she was in House Bunny. She was at her peak. She was also so, so funny in the Scary Movies. Her and Regina Hall in the Scary Movies. I mean, come on. Name a better comedic duo. I'll wait. Regina Hall in those movies has given us some moments. Do you remember when she's in the movie theater and she's like...
Not a memo on Sam! Sam, this is some scary shit! Oh, I am scared!
Oh, excuse me?
I think I paid my money like everybody else up in here.
Regina Hall and Anna Faris in those movies, I mean, pitch perfect. So, and I can't believe it's been 10 years. It feels like it's just yesterday. We need to do a House Bunny pop dive. We'll get to it. What else? And also Catherine McPhee's early music. I mean, she had some great stuff on that first album. Of course, we all know Over It. Which is a grocery store anthem. You know, we're going to be hearing that in grocery stores for the rest of time. But also Love Story, Open Toes. Which was an anthem for flip-flops. I mean, talk about a flip-flop anthem. So many good songs. And I just loved Idol back in the day. It was really my show. I watched season one. I remember season one. Do you remember that Ryan Starr and Nikki McKibben? And of course, my queen, Kelly Clarkson. And I became so obsessed. I was so into Idol that first season. I remember in the finale when Kelly Clarkson won and she was singing Moment Like This. Kelly Clarkson was singing a moment like this, and then they brought out like all the other finalists, and then Nikki McKibben at one point like sort of hijacks the microphone to like help Kelly Clarkson sing. And I mean, again, speaking of a jolt to the senses, it's like Nikki McKibben's voice on a moment like this, it just not work. I mean, I love Nikki McKibben, but I loved all that early seasons of Idol. You know, in that second season, then we had that iconic Ruben versus Clay. I mean, who doesn't remember that? And then the Fantasia season was after that. Fantasia's so good. And then after Fantasia, it was the Carrie versus Bryce season. Do you remember when Carrie Underwood did Alone by Heart? I mean... these moments. And then season five came, and season five was Catherine McPhee's season. And of course, Taylor Hicks won. It certainly wasn't the last time America voted wrong, but it was one of the worst times that America voted wrong. Like, he did not deserve to win. Of course, the following season was Jordan Sparks was the winner. And then after Jordan Sparks, it was like a bunch of white guys with guitars, which was very upsetting. And I think the franchise sort of lost its luster. I did love Adam Lambert. I thought he was amazing. And he's come out with some amazing music since. But there was just a lot of white guys with guitars for a while. And then Simon, of course, left Idol, and I think it kind of went downhill, but I digress. I'm like blabbering on and on. Anyway, I want to get to the interview with Catherine. She just wrapped up Broadway. She was doing Waitress on Broadway. She's, of course, recently engaged to David Foster, who David Foster has produced some of, you know, the biggest artists of all time. I mean, he was instrumental in the Bodyguard soundtrack, and he's worked with all the greats, so all of our queens. So I'm excited to chat with her about her music, about... We're going to talk House Bunny. We're going to talk Smash. We're going to talk about all of it. Before we get to the interview, please remember that this Thursday we'll have an all-new Everything Iconic where we'll recap Housewives. So every Monday is a pop dive about one specific topic. And then every Thursday is a Housewives-centric or Bravo-centric episode. And then next Monday we'll have an all-new pop dive. So Monday pop dive, Thursday Bravo Housewives. My parents are coming to town, you guys too. So everyone say a prayer. My parents are coming tomorrow, so they'll be here for the rest of the week. And I'd like everyone to pray for me, whether you're religious or not. Just do it. Okay, so without further ado, please enjoy my interview with the lovely and talented Catherine over at Open Toast McPhee. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hi, Catherine. Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice.
Yours too. You can call me Kat too if you want, whatever you want.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Now, you just finished Broadway. You were doing Waitress. What was your experience on Broadway like?
It was amazing. I mean, it was such a dream for me to come. I had just done Scorpion for 4 seasons, and I really wanted this hiatus to be a special hiatus, to do something different and something that was going to be really fulfilling. And I was a fan of the show, a fan of the music, fan of Sarah Bareilles, and it was a whirlwind because I came straight from set.
Right.
Landed in New York, straight into rehearsals, and 3 weeks later I was on Broadway doing the show. So, and I've been doing it for 4 months pretty much. So it's been amazing. Like I people are asking me, you know, how are you feeling your last shows, this, that, and the other. It's been so, every show I kind of kept finding new stuff to play around with. So it still felt fresh to me at the very end.
And do you have a dream Broadway role? Like now that you tackled Waitress, is there something else you'd love to do on Broadway?
Well, I would love to do something original, and obviously I can't answer the questions specifically because the show, if it's original, right, that means it doesn't exist, or it's based on like a movie that's already out, but they turn into a musical. But so no, I mean, the only thing I could like give you is, sort of like revivals of shows that I would love to, you know, be a part of. Or I mean, I always love Sweet Charity, but now these kind of old-fashioned shows, like with the whole Me Too, they have to really kind of rework the ending of these stories, mm-hmm, because it doesn't really work anymore to have those kind of stories where like the woman is basically begging for the man to love her. Right. And, you know, the man is still more powerful than the woman. It just has to be really kind of, it has to make sense for what's happening today, you know?
Sure. Now switching gears a bit, I'm a huge fan of Smash, and I know like the gays love Smash. Oh, we love it.
Yes.
So how likely is it for Smash to continue, first of all?
Well, I would say that's probably not very likely. I haven't gotten any phone calls from, let's say, Netflix or NBC to revive it. I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but the fact that it's been 4 or 5 years since it's been off the air is probably not going. But there's probably more of a chance of like the Smash, like Smash the musical becoming a reality than going back on, you know, television or something.
I was going to ask, like, what would your dream sort of continuation of it be? Would it be a Broadway show or just like a one-off TV special or?
God, I've never even thought about a one-off TV special, but I mean, I would love to see, it'd be so fun to see it like become a Broadway show, like Smash the musical about, it could be so many things, like a musical within a musical, or like a TV show within a musical within. I mean, there's like so many different options. Scenarios. I don't know. I would just love to see Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, who wrote the music for most of the original stuff, to see their stuff kind of hit the Broadway stage because they wrote so many great songs for that show.
I know the music and it was just so good. I was rewatching it recently and I just love it so much.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I rewatched it actually not that long ago either, and I was like, oh. This was pretty good.
Yeah. No, also pretty good is one of my favorite movies, House Bunny. Do you have any favorite memories from making that movie?
You know, I just, like, I was so fresh off of Idol, and I was so excited to be, I remember coming home every night into, like, my new apartment that I was living in on my own, and being so excited and feeling like, wow, being on a set is like really where I feel really, really comfortable. But also I just have these fun memories of all of us girls hanging out on our breaks, like in our trailers and in the van with me and Anna Faris and Emma Stone and Kat Dennings and like Rumor Willis. There was just like so many of us that were kind of at the very beginning. I mean, Emma Stone had already done Super Bad, but even still, like we all kind of, and it's fun to run into each other now and just remember like when we were all, I mean, we're all like really, really young when we did that. So we just, it was, for me, it was like such a good learning space because I didn't have a huge part, but I got to work with girls who were even younger than me, who'd had more experience on sets. And
a rare thing too, having so many women, lead women in a movie.
Yeah. And we kind of, I mean, Heather Perry was one of the producers on the show. She talked about how she likes to believe that she sort of, we paved the way for,
sure.
For like some of the more female, yeah, bridesmaids and stuff. I mean, it was really kind of ahead of its curve. I tend to keep being a part of things that are ahead of its curve. Like,
yeah.
Like for instance, Smash.
But it must be gratifying though, that so many of these projects you've done have sort of lived on even though, I mean, House Bunny was really popular when it came out too, but.
Yeah, it was. But it had like, it's similar in to Smash in that way that it had like this more cult following.
Right.
After, like, people would come to me and be like, oh my God, I loved you in House Bunny. Or I loved House Bunny. It was such a funny movie. Wait, you were in House Bunny? Oh my God, that movie's so funny. You know, yeah, it's a really cute movie.
And then going back even further, I mean, I remember watching you on Idol. I was a huge fan of, like, the original run of Idol. And I feel like your season was sort of the peak, you know, with Kelly Pickler and Elliot Yameen and all of you guys were, and Daughtry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Looking back on that experience, did you know that you were among so many great talents at the time?
I definitely knew that our season was good. Like, I knew that we had all the characters that we needed to make a good television show. And that's essentially what it was, even though, yeah, sure, it's a competition show, a talent competition show. I knew we had, like, the sexy, cool rocker, like, the girl from the valley who becomes, like, a beauty queen. AKA me, you know, like the little country bumpkin, Kelly Pickler, who becomes like a country star, like, you know, Elliot Yameen, who is the unassuming, like unbelievable voice. And then the crooner, like with salt and pepper hair. It was like such an unusual group of people. So I knew that we were interesting television. You know, I didn't know that. I mean, our season was the highest rated season of all the, we were like the peak. You're right. We were the biggest peak
the
of Idol.
The peak of that show.
Yeah, it was. And every year since then, it kind of like slowly but surely the ratings would go down and down and down. I mean, obviously the ratings in comparison to other shows were still really great. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy to be a part of it when it was just like at its peak and with the original judges. And so.
And you had met your fiance, David Foster, on American Idol, correct? Or did you meet him before that?
You are correct. Yeah, yes. You're right. Yeah, he and Andrea Bocelli were guest mentors. And I remember my mom, you know, I grew up listening to like Celine and I loved Andrea Bocelli and
sure.
I knew the prayer because I'd sung it for something. My mom made me like learn the Italian and I remember calling her and I was like, oh my God, you're never going to believe like guest mentors this week. It's like, it's Andrea Bocelli. And then there's this producer that I don't know, but he's supposed to be really like amazing. I mean, his name's David Foster. My mom said, Catherine, you know who David Foster is. You've listened to like every artist that he's ever like, you know, created. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, we met on that show and then I did a lot of charity events with him. We've been friends for a long time and yeah, so.
And do you have a favorite one of his songs? I mean, he's produced so many iconic hits.
So many, but like now even stuff that I didn't know when I was a kid, like there's so many songs that like, that he wrote that I know now that are so amazing. There's so many songs, like, I don't know, some of the just piano songs, like stuff he's done for movies, like the scores, like he didn't do that many movies, but he doesn't really like think that's his real gift. But the one he got nominated for an Oscar for, I can brag about him because it's not me. So yeah. he's been nominated 3 times for an Oscar, but one of the times he was nominated was for Karate Kid. Is that right?
I'd have to look that up too. I don't know.
I mean, there's like so many songs. There's so many. I'm a little bit more immune to it now because I know all of them. But
right.
People come see his shows and they're like, wait, he wrote that or he produced that or whatever. So
I just saw the Whitney documentary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just remembering he did all of the Bodyguard soundtrack. And it's like, oh, my God, that's right. It's amazing.
Yeah. He told me about that documentary that he watched. He said it's amazing. And he's not in it because I'm like, how are you not in the Whitney Houston documentary? And they tried to get his schedule to meet up with his, and he just couldn't make it happen. So it's kind of a shame that he's not in, because he was a huge part of her, a big part of her career. But
yeah, it was an amazing doc.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to see it.
Speaking of music, I love a lot of your music, but your specifically like your first album. I remember Open Toes, Love Story, and Over It. Like, those are my bops back in the day. Like,
I wish that like that record had, like, the record label at the time had given it more of a chance, because it was actually, I remember being with like a lot of, you know, sort of critics, like music critics and stuff. They're like, this was actually a really good pop record, and it was really hard. We made it really fast, and I didn't know what I was really. There were so many different styles I guess I could have done. Right. So we just ended on that one, and they weren't quite sure what to do with me. But yeah, like, it's wasn't a bad record by any means. And
no, there's some good bops.
There's some good bops, yeah.
So we talk a lot about pop culture stuff on the show. So I just want to run through some more like general pop culture questions. So it's like a little lightning round, but you don't have to be fast with it at all. Just, you know, whatever comes to mind.
I'll make sure I don't get myself into trouble.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I do. It's probably, I love Father of the Bride with Steve Martin.
Oh, such a good one.
People who are like under my age are not going to know it. And it's a shame, because it's like one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, that house and Father of the Bride, like, obsessed. Totally. How about Mariah Carey? Like, I'm a lamb. I love Mariah Carey. Do you have a favorite Mariah Carey song?
Oh, yes. You're treating me kind. Da-da. I don't even know the words anymore. Da-da-da-dee.
I'm going to pass out. Oh, my God. It's so good.
What's that song called? Vision of Love.
Yes. Yeah.
Tia, Celine, and Mariah Celine and Whitney were like my favorites growing up.
I know with Aretha's passing, I was revisiting Divas Live 1998. I don't know if you remember that.
On VH1.
So good.
On VH1. Loved when they did that. Yeah, it was a great.
Yeah, it was the best. Yeah.
I sang an Aretha song on Idol.
Which one did you do?
Well, I sang Respect.
Right.
And then I sang, actually, Stevie Wonder wrote it, but Aretha sang it, and it was, I guess I'll knock on your door, tap on your window pane.
I got chills.
I don't know what's the hook of it. Till you come back to me, that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, little Aretha, man. She was.
Catherine, you're killing me. You know what I noticed after I was listening to all of Aretha's music, and it is so good, mm-hmm. and you almost forget, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Britney or Christina?
Oh, well, are you talking about past or present?
Whatever, past. Let's do past.
Okay, past. I was in the Christina camp.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I was.
How about Mandy Moore or Jessica Simpson?
Jessica Simpson.
Okay, now if you were in charge of People magazine and you were choosing the sexiest man alive and you couldn't choose David Foster, who would you choose?
You're trying to get me in trouble.
I could tell you my list. My list would be like Henry Cavill, Chris Hemsworth.
Mine would be Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, Ryan Gosling isn't obvious. That's not, you know, not surprising. I think Josh Duhamel is so sweet and like a good guy and like manly and, you know, sexy.
Yeah, I like that. I like that choice. Yeah. Catherine, I will let you go. Thanks. I appreciate you doing this so, so much.
Oh, good.
This was such a delight
for me. Well, thanks for letting me be on your podcast. It's so cool.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, talk to you soon.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, you guys, that's a wrap. That's a wrap on today's episode. I want to thank you all for listening. Please follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. There's also an Everything Iconic Facebook group, so please go join the group. And if you want to support this podcast and get access to all the bonus episodes, we're doing recaps of The Real Housewives of New York season 2 we're on right now, but we also did season 1. So if you want access to all of those bonus episodes, please head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. And for $4 or more per month, you get access to all of the bonus episode, all of the Real Housewives of New York recaps. And more importantly, you're just helping to support this podcast so we can make it. So it's super helpful if you're able to pledge any money on there. It's super easy. Just go on to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you get a chance, please subscribe on iTunes and please rate and review this on iTunes if you like it. It really helps us out. It helps us book guests and helps us with it helps us with sponsors and all of that stuff. So if you do get a chance, please rate and review it. I love you forever. And I do want to just remind you all, I'm still trying to get back on Spotify. I don't know that's going to happen. So I do apologize that we're not on Spotify anymore, but we are on iTunes, Google Podcasts. We're on Acast. We're on Stitcher. Stitcher is a great app for podcasts if you're looking for something. So we're all on those. So I apologize we're not on Spotify. I'm hoping that one day we'll get back on, but we're not quite there yet. Thank you all for listening. I love you all so much. I'll let you go. Again, say a prayer for me. Oh, and you guys, so we talked all about American Idol, and how fitting, because our intro and outro music is, of course, Kimberly Locke from American Idol. So if you're new to the show, that music that you heard at the beginning, that was Miss Kimberly Locke, who, of course, sang the iconic grocery store anthem, Eighth World Wonder. She gave us a song to use for our intro and outro. So, you know, please enjoy Kimberly Locke. Let's support our idols. Support the idols that should have been the winners. I mean, Kimberly Locke should have won that season 2, but I digress. All right. Love you all for listening. Bye.